looking. Got him. Coming to you live from Section 5, Row 23. This is the Forever Faithful Podcast. What is going down, 49er Faithful? This is the Forever Faithful Podcast. I'm JD, joined as always by JP and 49er Tone. And look, it's here. It's finally here. All the talk, all the rumors, all the speculation, everything goes out the window because it is officially week one of the 2018 NFL season, and we can finally talk about some real football, guys. I'm pumped. I know you guys are pumped. Cannot wait to see this week one game, the Niners and the Minnesota Vikings up in Minnesota. Storylines galore in that game. A lot of stuff going around. In terms of 49er land, tons of news, tons of notes, tons of just stuff happening. And that's how you know it's football season, guys. The news cycle does not stop ever in the National Football League. And things are getting kicked off, and it's only going to get even crazier. So here's kind of how we're going to lay things out today. First down, we're going to get into some unfortunate news. You'll hear about that in a second. Second down, we're gonna talk about some of the roster cuts that this team made as they trim things down to the final 53. Third down, we're gonna give you guys our look at the 49ers Week 1 game against the Minnesota Vikings. Kind of preview that game, what we like, what we don't like, matchups, keys to victory, the whole nine. And then on fourth down, we're gonna answer your questions in our mailbag segment. So whenever you hear this podcast, be sure to submit your questions to us on Twitter at FFPodcast49 or on Facebook at Facebook.com/ForeverFaithfulPodcast. Let us know what you guys are thinking, what questions you guys have for us, what you would like us to discuss. But before we get into all of that, man, JP, Tone, it's week one. JP, how are you feeling, man? I'm pumped. I know you're pumped.
Oh, man, I'm excited. I'm just ready for some football, man. You know, we've been waiting all offseason. We've sat through some pretty boring preseason games, but the real thing's finally here. I'm just ready to see some football that counts.
Tone, man, how are you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling ecstatic, man. I'm super excited, and just one week away. Here we go. You know, the countdown is on, and I can't be more excited and pumped, and you're going to get a lot of dedication from the Forever Faithful Podcast, giving you that 49er news and insight and our thoughts. So I'm just excited to get the season ready to go. Let's go.
I mean, I know you're pumped right now, Tone. You're sitting in the parking lot at O.co for an A's game right now, but you're still getting on the line. You're still going to record the show. You're a gamer. You're playing through it. You're playing hurt right now. You're doing what you got to do, and we appreciate that, Tone.
So exactly. That's the dedication I'm talking about. I'm sitting here tailgating with some family, ready for the A's game. But we had a show to do, and this is some of the things that we have to do. So I'm ready. I'm here. Let's get this show on the roll.
Yeah, we're recording this one here on Sunday, September 2nd, 2018, literally 1 week away from the Niners' opening season game against the Minnesota Vikings. So you can tell that we're hyped up. You can tell we're ready to go. But as we get into first down here, you know, we have to temper the enthusiasm just a little bit. There's a little bit of a damper that's been put on all the hype and the excitement as we head into the season. Because by now, I'm sure everyone has seen the news that running back Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL yesterday at the very end of practice, literally the last play of practice, and you saw the reports initially that he fell down and you know hurt himself making a cut on air. And when you see that quote, when you see that line, making a quote or making a cut on air, excuse me, you know it's not good. Those non-contact injuries, I'm going to say 10 times out of 10, it's an ACL. And so we got the news late yesterday that Jerick McKinnon tore his ACL and he's done for the year. He was one of the big free agent signings that we made, gave him a lot of money, and it sucks. It really sucks to see that happen to a guy who was going to be a huge part of this team, a huge part of the offense, big part of the plans, and there's a lot of excitement around him and how he was going to fit with Kyle Shanahan. And to get that news, man, it was like a kick to the gut. I don't know how else to put it. It was terrible. JP, what were your thoughts when you heard the news that we lost McKinnon for the season?
Yeah, man, it's definitely a tough blow. Just like you mentioned, you know, we gave him that big contract in the off season, and he was definitely going to be a big part of our plans, especially in Kyle Shanahan's system. He's the ideal back for his type of offense that he wants to run. Especially with him and Breida, it would have been a great 1-2 punch. But you know, I think he's here for the long haul. I think he's going to be around for a while. Yeah, you know, this season he's done. So hopefully he can come back strong next year, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it's definitely a kick in the gut, like you said, and just the circumstances that it happened almost a week out from you know, week one of the regular season, and to top it off, I mean, he's going up against his former team that didn't want to re-sign him, and man, huh, it's just I feel for the kid, man. I definitely feel for him. And the last play of practice, it's just tough. But you know, I think we have, I think we'll be okay. I mean, you know, obviously, I'm not sure if Breida can carry the load. I know Alfred Morris is there. Alfred Morris is definitely not a running back like McKinnon. He's not going to catch a bunch of passes out of the backfield. But on the flip side of that, he knows Kyle Shanahan's system. He's been with him before, so we'll see. But yeah, man, it was a tough pill to swallow. But hey, we got to move on. Next man up.
Tone, what was your reaction when you heard the news that McKinnon went down for the year?
I honestly, when I got the news, I received a text from you, and I honestly was like, what? I just couldn't believe, and especially from the tweet that I seen that it was the last thing at practice, and it was a drill, and he just cut, no one was around him, and all this and that, and I couldn't believe it. It's just one of those things where freak accidents happen. It's one also, you know, just bad luck. You know, it sounded like something with that type of look, sounded like he was going to get hurt at some point. I mean, it's just really unfortunate that it had to be the last thing in practice. No one was around him, and it's just a freak accident. But you know, the signing of Morris was huge for us, and it is going to show that it's going to be really huge. Hopefully it pays dividends for us after this loss with McKinnon. And then of course, you know, Breida back on the field, you know, the 49ers still can have a 1-2 punch, but McKinnon, you know, with the guaranteed money that we gave him, signed them to a long-term deal, and you know, the guy fits the Shanahan offense. It's just a huge blow regardless if you think the 49ers are going to win 6-7 games or 10, 11, 12 games. It doesn't matter. It was a huge blow to this offense. Now, it's the next man up, like JP said. But, yeah, it's just terrible news right before the season. So I hope he heals fast. It's, you know, prayers to him. But, yeah, for as far as the season goes, this was a huge blow. But next man up, and, you know, we'll see what Shanahan has in store, you know, with our running backs. The good thing about Shanahan, real quick, is that his dad always had multiple running backs. And that style of offense, you know, the Shanahan offense, they always utilize multiple backs. So losing one, you know, doesn't necessarily hurt the offense completely. And that's kind of what I'm putting my hopes for, you know what I mean? But McKinnon was a top free agent target for us, a guy who fits the mold of Shanahan's offense, exactly what he wanted from a running back. And, yeah, so, I mean, hopefully he'll be back fully healthy next year. But, yeah, we'll see what we can do with the next man up this season.
Now, JP, I heard you say that, you know, hopefully he can come back and, you know, be a part of this team moving forward and you know, hopefully things heal right and, you know, he can be in the fold for a while. Let me play a little devil's advocate here. Let me be the pessimist because you guys know that I'm pretty negative sometimes. And I look at it like this. The Niners can get out from that contract for McKinnon basically after this season with – minimal damage done to the cap and whatnot. They structured it in a way where they can get out from under it and it's not really going to affect them very much. McKinnon's a guy whose game is predicated on speed, quickness, agility, all that stuff. And, I mean, he's a young guy. He's only 25, but a guy whose game is built on making cuts and being quick on his feet and all that, an ACL injury could be a death sentence for the guy, if I'm being real. That's how I'm looking at it. You got to look at it that way. And I don't know if you're necessarily going to see McKinnon in a Niner uniform ever. I think there's a really good possibility now that they move on from him after this season because – you don't know with a guy like that how he's going to come back. Now, maybe they'll you know, check his progress during the offseason next year and see how things are going. But I wouldn't be surprised if we never see Jerick McKinnon in a Niner jersey again.
Now, JD, real quick, just to that point, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying because it is unfortunate. I mean, it's a long, you know, this injury is going to take a long time to heal. Will he be a 49er when he's healthy? But don't you think with the guaranteed money that we did sign him for and the amount of years we signed him for, Shanahan, do you think Shanahan would just cut ties that fast? I mean, it's just, you know, it's literally the first year of that contract.
With the guaranteed money, that's why I think that they can get out from under it after this year. Because after this year, he's not really guaranteed much of anything. And, you know, like I said, they'll probably check his progress, whatnot. You know, there's a solid chance he can be back next year, but who knows? Because with a guy like that, the way he plays, we don't know how that's going to go. And, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But I'm curious to see what they do with McKinnon moving forward. I know it's premature. I mean, it's been 24 hours since the injury as of, you know, the recording of this podcast. So maybe I'm speaking a little prematurely, but I don't know. It just seems weird to me. So yeah, obviously guys, huge gut punch, huge blow to the 49er offense. And now we move on to who we have left, and that's Matt Breida, the second year running back, and the recently acquired Alfred Morris. Morris, of course, played really well in the Niners' third preseason game against the Indianapolis Colts. We all know that the background story with Alfred Morris and Kyle Shanahan. So I want to see what your guys' thoughts are on the committee that we have, because that's what it's going to be now, is a committee between Alfred Morris and Matt Breida. So, JP, what do you think about the Niners' run game moving forward without McKinnon?
I think it will be okay, man. I think the chemistry that Alfred Morris has with Shanahan, you know, like I mentioned earlier, he knows the system. I think he'll be okay. I think it was a blessing in disguise that we picked him up. You know, we had some running backs that were banged up in the preseason, and we decided to bring him in. And I think it was a great move by the front office, by Kyle, by you know, John Lynch as well. Matt Breida is going to be good. I think he's going to be taking a bigger role than what he would have if McKinnon was there. But he's basically going to be taking over that McKinnon role. He's going to be that third down back. He's going to be I kind of see it as a Tariq Cohen kind of player over in Chicago. I think he's going to, you know, catch a lot of passes out of the backfield. I still think he can, you know, we saw him last year. He had a couple of very nice runs. So I still think he might get some touches you know, outside of third down as well. But I think Alfred Morris is, you know, I think that we need to preserve Alfred Morris too. You know what I mean? I mean, he's getting up there in age. He's 30 odd, whatnot. I'm not sure his exact age. But you know, I think we need to preserve him a little bit. And, you know, don't be surprised if you see Raheem Mostert in there a lot. He's going to get some, you know, get anywhere from 5 to 7 touches a game. I won't be surprised seeing that. So, like you said, JD, I think this is just going to be a running back by committee. Tone was saying, like, you know, Shanahan's dad, he always had running backs, and it could be anybody coming up. So hopefully doesn't affect us too much. I think Alfred Morris is going to be a great pickup. I think I think he might take the goal line carries as well. So we'll see. I'm, you know, it's tough to see, you know, a guy like that who was projected to be our number one back go down. But I'm excited for the potential of these running backs. And that's another question. Who do you think we're going to bring back another running back? You know, I'm not sure if Joe Williams is going to come back. You know, I think that ship has sailed with Joe Williams. I don't think, you know, we'll be bringing him back, but you know, there could be some other guy, Jeremy McNichols. He had a decent preseason, nothing really too flashy. He could be a candidate to come back on the team now. So, but we'll see. We'll see how this running back team comes. But I'm confident in Alfred Morris and knowing the system and the way Matt Breida played last year. I think we'll be okay. I don't think it's going to be too much of a kick in the gut. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Tone, what do you think about the way that the running game is shaping up now as we head into Week 1?
Well, like I was saying earlier, you know, I'm putting my hope on Kyle Shanahan, just like his dad, you know, had multiple running backs, didn't matter who it was, and they were able to produce in this type of offense. So, you know, I Morris looked good in the preseason against the Colts. Was happy to see that. So, obviously, he should be on top of the depth chart, and then with Breida coming in. I always liked Breida a lot, and, you know, JD, you know, we were there training camp when he shook Reuben Foster out of his cleats. But other than that, I mean, Breida is a guy who, you know, surprised the heck out of me when he came up, you know, and, you know, what he was able to do, you know, to compliment Carlos Hyde. You know, I did like what I see, and I think he's only going to continue to get better, and especially him helping Morris out, spell him at times. I'm telling you, I'm really just hoping that Kyle Shanahan has that magic like his dad did. Because if that's the case, then it is next man up. It is, hey, you know, one guy goes down, that's okay. Our run game is still going to be able to produce. But, you know, how the run game is shaping up, it's really, really going to not only on Kyle Shanahan's shoulders, but it's really going to be on Jimmy G's shoulders in the passing game, because we're going to have to pass to set up that run. And if Jimmy G's on target and able to accurately march down the field with his arm, that run game is going to open up. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I'm still hoping that, you know, Kyle has his dad's magic in that sense.
You know, I think it's going to be serviceable. All you have to do is look back to last year, those 5 games with Jimmy G. They manufactured a run game between Carlos Hyde, Matt Breida, and Raheem Mostert. Hyde didn't fit the offense. He still was, you know, decently productive. Matt Breida came in as that change of pace guy. Mostert came in here and there. And, you know, the run game wasn't, like, amazing, but it worked. It was functional. And I think that's all we really need. Everyone's kind of freaking out, myself included. It's a really just came out of nowhere reading that report about McKinnon, like, whoa, like, that sucks. It just happened so fast. You didn't see it coming, and it was, you know, it knocked the wind out of you a little bit. But if you just sit back and you think about it, you know, what did we do the last 5 games of the season last year? We manufactured a run game. We ran the ball kind of when we needed to, and it wasn't great. It wasn't flashy, but it worked. And I think you're going to see a lot of that this year. And, you know, of course, we have a lot of receivers that we like. So, you know, we're going to be all right. I think we're going to be all right when it's all said and done. Of course, we would love to have McKinnon, but we don't. And, you know, it's next man up. You got to keep the train moving. And here we go heading into week one. And you can do, you can't do anything else, you know, but go with the horses that you have. So there we have it, guys. Jerick McKinnon out for the year, torn ACL. It's not ideal, but it's what we got to deal with. So with that, I think we're going to wrap up first down and move on into second down. All right, guys, here we go on second down. If you have read the reports, the Niners have trimmed down their roster to the final 53, as all NFL teams are required to do heading into week one. They cut several players. I'm going to run through the list very fast, and then we'll give you our thoughts on some names that might have jumped out at us that were cut and whatnot. So we have quarterbacks Nick Mullins, Jack Hennigan that were cut. Running backs Jeremy McNichols, Jeff Wilson, Jaquan Gardner, and Joe Williams were all given the boot. Fullback Malcolm Johnson, tight end Cole Hickatini, wide receivers Aldrick Robinson, Aaron Burbridge, Stephen Dunbar were cut. Tight end Ross Dwelly, offensive linemen Andrew Lauderdale, Coleman Shelton, Najee Turan, J.P. Flynn, Chris Gonzalez, defensive linemen Will Sutton, Jeremiah Tauchu, who was a big free agent signing that people had hopes for. Defensive lineman Chris Jones, Niall Scott. Linebackers Peter Tomopenu, Corey Toomer were cut. Defensive backs Emmanuel Mosley, Dexter McCoyle, Antoine Exum. Punter Jeff Locke, tackle Pace Murphy, tight end Wes Saxton. Offensive lineman Darrell Williams and defensive back Tyvus Powell were all released as the team trimmed their way down to the final 53. Tone, why don't you start us off? Any of those names stand out to you as we trim down the roster?
Well, first off, I want to say to all those guys that you mentioned, you know, good luck to you guys the rest of your career. Hopefully you guys land on the team and continue your dream of being an NFL player. But, yeah, as far as names standing out, one name that's not on that list, it is Richie James, and I'm very happy to, him being on the team. I'm excited about this guy. But the other name to stand out, obviously, which is all was a surprise to me just by the way he played in the preseason, because I had high hopes for him, was Joe Williams. You know, the guy really disappointed me. I was so high on this guy. We redshirted him last year. And I really thought, you know, he had an opportunity to take a job and really make an impact this preseason, and he didn't do it. And so that, I know it wasn't a surprise last week going into that fourth preseason game, what we were going to do, especially after signing out for Morris. But to me, what I expected him to do for in preseason and make an impact, that's what stood out to me. It's just a disappointment for me. But, yeah, man, everybody else on that roster, you know, Aldrick Robinson, I was like, oh, wow, we cut him too. It's just one of those things where, hey, guys, thank you and good luck the rest of your careers. But, yeah, we got a lot of talent at that wide receiver position, in my opinion. So, yeah, those would be my names, man.
JP, what stood out to you with some of the names that we cut?
Yeah, one guy that we cut that we picked up after the draft. We didn't draft him, but it was a free agent. Was Tavares McFadden. That dude, once we picked him up after the draft, I thought, man, that was a great pickup. He's a big physical defensive back. 6'2", 200 plus pounds. I thought he fits our defense well. Especially our secondary, I thought, you know, if he played well, he could, you know, squeak his way onto the team. Preseason, he was real quiet. We didn't really see too much of him. I didn't really see too much of him. So that was probably one of the reasons why he was cut. He could be, you know, somebody that might hop onto our practice squad, which would be good because there is a lot of big corners, especially in our division, that we may be going up against. So, but yeah, that was a little bit of a shock to see Tavares McFadden cut a little bit. Another guy that's kind of shocked to see on the team is Elijah Lee, one of our Will linebackers. you know, I saw some good things in the preseason, but it was just kind of shocked. I thought, you know, maybe another linebacker or some other position might pop up there. But I see why they did it. You know, Reuben Foster is going to be out for a few games in the beginning of the season, so they need some type of filler there. But yeah, man, those are a couple of shocks that I saw. Everything else was I saw pretty much coming. You know, the wide receivers, just like Tone was saying, Richie James, I think from the first preseason game, I mean, JD, you called it as soon as we drafted him in the seventh round that he's going to make this team, and you were right. He played amazing. You know, no real shocks there, but you know, hey, we'll see. I'm sure this team that we have now is not going to be the team that we're going to have at the end of the season. I'm sure there's going to be cuts and roster moves or trades or whatnot. So, but hey, it's the team we're going into battle with. So, let's go.
You know, the couple names that stood out to me that were cut, you got to go with Jeremiah Atauchu. He was a free agent signing from the San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers, a guy who, you know, is a pass rush kind of specialist, flashed at times with the Chargers, but he's always kind of battled injuries throughout his career. I kind of thought it was a low-risk, high-reward type of signing in the offseason. We didn't sign him for much money. And, you know, I thought he was going to come in and provide a little bit of a boost for the pass rush, but they obviously didn't think that. And cutting Atauchu is kind of telling. It tells you that they're really confident in Cassius Marsh, you know, Eric Armstead off the edge, some of the guys that they have. And I was shocked to see Atauchu was cut. I'm kind of wondering what they're thinking with that move. Because they obviously are confident in the guys that they have off the edge, and I think we can all agree that pass rush is one of the more you know, one of the more what kind of word am I looking for here? It's one of those spots we need to pass rush. We need to improve it, and I don't know if we necessarily have the horses to get after it in the pass rush off the edge. So you get rid of a guy like Atauchu, I mean, that means guys like Armstead and Cassius Marsh, they got to step up. I mean, it's the writing's on the wall. You have to produce this year. So that was one that really caught my eye, was Atauchu. And then also Nick Mullins, quarterback Nick Mullins. He balled out in the preseason. He looked really, really good, really poised back there, really confident. And you guys know I'm not the biggest T.J. Beathard guy. If it was my call, Nick Mullins would be the number two. I would have Nick Mullins backing up Jimmy Garoppolo. He looked more comfortable back there. He looked more like a pure quarterback than C.J. Beathard. So cutting Nick Mullins really, you know, stood out to me. But with that said, there's a few guys that the team is looking to bring back onto the practice squad, and that does include Nick Mullins, Peter Tomapenu, Tyvus Powell, Emmanuel Mosley, Andrew Lauderdale, Najee Turan, and Niall Scott. Those are just a few of the names they're looking to bring back on the practice squad, and I hope that Nick Mullins is one of those guys that they can bring. You know, if we do have an injury at quarterback, they can bump up Mullins to the 53, and you know, I want to keep him in the fold. I like what I saw from him, and even more to that effect, I didn't like what I saw from C.J. Beathard, and I don't like what I've seen from C.J. Beathard in general. So I'm worried about the Niners' backup quarterback spot in general. But there you have it, guys. There's the roster cuts. We're down to the final 53 as we head into this season. And a couple little quick notes, JP, you mentioned, you know, Richie James making the squad. You also have to look at a guy like Julian Taylor, who was a seventh rounder that made the squad. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have done a really good job drafting these last couple of years. Yeah, they've had a couple of misses with, you know, guys like Joe Williams and whatnot. You know, more often than not, they're bringing in guys that are contributing and making this squad, whether undrafted or otherwise. So I'm happy with it. I'm on the Mullins train, like I said, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully he makes the practice squad. With that, I think we're going to wrap up second down and move on into third down. All right, guys, it is third down, and here we go. On third down here, we want to jump in to the week one game, the Niners, the Minnesota Vikings, and give you our thoughts, our little preview of that week one matchup as things get real and the bullets start flying for real. JP, what are you looking for in this first game? What stands out to you? What, you know, what matchups are you seeing? Keys to the game? break it on down for us. What are you thinking about as we head into this week one matchup?
Well, man, I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to be one of the top teams in the league this year, let alone the NFC. So we're going up against a powerhouse team, and I think it's good. I think it's a good test for us to start out the year. We're going to Minnesota, so that's you know, we're going to have some traveling. I'm interested to see how Jimmy G and this offense runs up against an elite defense, especially our run game. You know what I mean? This is going to be a huge problem. You know, it could be one of the biggest tests all year for our run game. You know, especially with McKinnon down now, and we'll see how Alfred Morris, you know, comes about, and everything else. I mean, we touched out on the running backs earlier in the podcast, but I'm interested to see how that happens. How Jimmy G, you know, a lot of people, I mean, this whole offseason, we keep hearing, oh, he's only had, you know, six games. He's only done this. He's, you know, he hasn't really faced real competition, although he did put up almost, you know, put up 30, 40 points up against one of the best defenses last year in the Jaguars. So, but no, there's still a lot of question marks. I mean, even for me, you know, some Niner fans, there is some question marks about Jimmy G, and I think this may, you know, put some of those questions to bed. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. As far as our defensive goes, we'll see how Kirk Cousins deals, but I'm interested to see our secondary. You know, we revamped it big time this year. I think Witherspoon is going to take a huge step this year. This is, you know, my opinion. You got Richard Sherman there. You know, he's coaching it up. They, you know, as a Niners, you know, the whole team calls him Uncle Sherm. So we'll see. I'm really interested to see our secondary. See Colbert coming to himself. That's another seventh round pick that we hit on. So I'm interested to see that. So the things that I'll be looking out for is definitely our run game and Jimmy G, and you can even throw our offensive line in there, because you know they're gonna be bringing the heat. But definitely Jimmy G, how he reacts to some pressure, to some real adversity, and our secondary. I want to see how our secondary handles, you know, Minnesota. They got two good receivers, you know, Diggs and Thielen. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But those are the two things that I'm going to be looking out for the most. What about you guys?
Tone, Tone. What are you looking at for this week one matchup?
Well, obviously the big thing would be Jimmy G, the offense going against Minnesota and their elite defense in a hostile environment, week one, opening day. But my number one thing personally would be Salah and how he's going to scheme against this Minnesota offense, specifically with Kirk Cousins. That defensive line, putting the pressure on Cousins, making him rush his throws, making him overthink out there in the pocket. That's what I want to see. If you look at the game against Washington last year, I know it's total two different things, but I would say the 49ers patchwork defense in that game last year was really doing well, and we had a chance to win that game against Cousins. And I think with this game, you know, seeing what Salah's going to do to scheme to get that pass rush going, I mean, that's going to be key. That's going to help the secondary. That's going to help Uncle Sherm and Witherspoon and all them. It's going to help them. You got to put pressure on Cousins and make him overthink and make him rush his throws. That's going to be the number one thing for me to see. Obviously, Jimmy G in the offense, able to move the ball on that defense, that's going to be a big test. Everybody knows that Jimmy G's got all these questions out there. You know, maybe not so much to a majority of 49er fans, but the whole entire football world, everybody's still questioning this guy. So that's going to be a big thing, you know, we're going to see and see if he can answer some of those questions. But yeah, my thing is that defense and that defensive line putting that pressure, especially, you know, no Reuben Foster in this game. The linebackers need to step up. Yeah, it's a huge test. And you know what? It's week one. You know, anything can happen. And I'm excited for it. But, you know, 49er Tone is a little worried with the defense going into this game. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But that's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm also very concerned. I think that the number one key on offense for this team is going to be keeping Jimmy Garoppolo upright. That the Minnesota Vikings defensive line is absolutely vicious. I mean, they can come at you with so many different guys, whether it's Danielle Hunter, Sheldon Richardson, whatnot. They have guys that get after the quarterback, and they don't stop. And, you know, with this Niners offensive line largely being new, you know, Joe Staley, of course, is the longtime guy. But Laken Tomlinson's been on this team for a little while now, you know, since last season. But then the rest of that offensive line is new. You're looking at, you know, Weston Richburg at center, a new starting right guard, whether that be Joshua Garnett or Mike Person. Garnett's been on this team, obviously, but he hasn't really gotten to play very much due to injuries. And then right tackle, the rookie Mike McGlinchey. He's going to have his hands full in his first real NFL start. So I think keeping Jimmy Garoppolo upright is by far the biggest concern that I have for the Niners offense heading into this game. If they can protect Jimmy G, and we all know that Jimmy G can get rid of the ball in a hurry and likes to do that, but if they can keep Jimmy G upright, I think we have a shot. But if they struggle, if Mike McGlinchey, you know, goes out there and plays like a rookie, I think it's going to be a long day. And that sucks to say as you head into the season when you want to be optimistic and you want to be pumped up. But I'm really concerned about the offensive line heading into this game against Minnesota. Now, defensively, and Tone, you hit on this briefly about the linebackers, with Reuben Foster, of course, missing the first two games due to his suspension. I'm really curious, and I think this is the big matchup for me in terms of the Niners' defense. I'm curious to see how our linebackers match up against Minnesota Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph. He's a very, very good tight end. And, of course, we all know Kirk Cousins loves to throw to those tight ends. So I'm wondering, you know, how they're going to match up with Kyle Rudolph. I think he's going to be the guy that Kirk Cousins targets a lot in this game. And, you know, whether that be Fred Warner matching up or Malcolm Smith matching up, I'm concerned about how we're going to play him. And I have just a sinking suspicion that when it's all said and done, you're going to see Kyle Rudolph potentially have a really big game. So there you have it. There was our thoughts on the week one game. Of course, you know, we're optimistic. We think, you know, we have a shot in the game, but the Minnesota Vikings are, of course, one of the top contenders out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl this year. And if you're putting a gun to my head and you're asking me, the Minnesota Vikings are my Super Bowl team out of the NFC this year. So to play them right out the gate at home, it's a monumental task. It's a big test. And it's, you know, it's a good test. You know, we want to see what this team's made of. So I think we'll get a quick read on that here week one. And we got to see what happens. So there you have it, guys. Breaking down a little bit of week one action here on third down of the Forever Faithful podcast this week. And I think now we're ready to move into our final segment of the episode, fourth down, otherwise known as our mailbag segment. And here we go, guys. It is fourth down, which means you guys asked us your questions here on the Forever Faithful podcast. You guys want to know our thoughts on things that you're thinking about. And again, we encourage everybody to participate. We're huge on listener participation. We encourage it big time. So if you have any questions you ever want us to answer here on the show, please be sure to tweet us at FFPodcast49 on Twitter, or shoot us a question or a message on Facebook at facebook.com/ForeverFaithfulPodcast. We got a handful of questions in the mailbag this week, and the first question comes from Don V, who is at DonV757 on Twitter. His first question, and you can tell how some of the Niner fans are feeling right now just based on this question. He says, "We're dead with Breida and Williams, or Breida and Morris, right?" I mean, he's, you know, he's kind of got the pulse of the Niner fan base all wrapped up in one right there in that question. Tone, do you think we're dead with Breida and Morris?
No, I don't. If you had to put a gun to my head to answer the question, like I said earlier, I'm hoping. So I'm a little worried going in, but I don't think we're dead. I think we can get a lot of use of these running backs, especially I'm a big fan of Breida anyway. I think he's going to be a really good second back. But, you know, with Morris, that's the big question mark. You look good in the preseason. You know, I hope it translates to the regular season. Hopefully it's a good 1-2 punch. Hopefully Kyle Shanahan can go ahead and get the most out of these guys. But, no, I don't think we're dead in the water at all. You know, based on scheme, based on having Jimmy G as a quarterback, the passing game, and, of course, Morris and Breida style, you know, complementing each other. I'm hoping, a little worried, but, no, we're not dead. Not dead by far.
JP, you think we're, you know, we're putting the nail in the coffin with Breida and Morris?
No, man, I don't think we are. I think we touched on it pretty good in the podcast. Like I was saying, you know, I think Alfred Morris is good. He's been in that system. But one guy I forgot to mention, which a lot of people I think are forgetting as well, is Kyle Juszczyk, man. I mean, he's very versatile out of the backfield. You saw all last year we utilized him a lot. He caught a bunch of balls out of the backfield as well. So I think his role will probably be a little bit more increased this year as well. So, you know, a lot of people forgot about Kyle Juszczyk. So he don't, you know, I think he'll be utilized a lot more too, but, do I think we're dead? No, I think we'll be okay. I think, you know, like I said, I think Matt Breida, is going to take a little bit of more of a bigger role. Alfred Morris knows this system with Kyle Shanahan and like I said, don't be surprised to see Raheem Mostert in there a little bit. You know, he was there last year. He got some touches last year, so don't surprise to see him. So I think we'll be okay. I think we have, you know, sufficient running backs that we'll be able to hang in there.
Now, I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach on this. I've had this in mind the entire episode, and we were talking about the running backs earlier, but I wanted to save it for this question because I knew that Don V asked this. I feel like, and the rest of the NFL is kind of mirroring this, the short passing game in the NFL is becoming an extension of the run game. And what does Jimmy Garoppolo excel at? The short passing game. Guys like Trent Taylor out of the slot. We bring in Richie James, who's shown really good ability in the preseason out of the slot. Of course, Dante Pettis, who's really quick and can create separation. I think the short passing game is going to be the extension to our run game this year. I think that Morris and Breida, of course, are going to be serviceable. Morris is that in-between the tackles, short yardage, goal line type runner. Breida's the change of pace guy. And then, you know, we don't have to run the ball 25, 30 times a game. We can use the short passing game to accentuate the run game. I think Trent Taylor is going to have a really productive season. I think you're going to see plenty of Richie James, and I think Dante Pettis is going to get on the field a ton. So I feel like the short passing game is going to be huge this year, and then fortunately for us, that's what Jimmy Garoppolo excels at, getting the ball out of his hands quick, finding the quick target, the quick option, and you know, so I'm not worried about it necessarily. And like we said earlier, you saw it in the last five games last year. They made a functional run game. And, of course, you know, we have the weapons at receiver. We have the depth at receiver to make the short passing game a big part of the offense. So I'm excited. You know, we'll see what happens. Kyle Shanahan, of course, is a master at scheme. And, you know, everything's going to be kind of dependent upon that week's matchup. And people are making a big deal right now. Who's going to start? Is it going to be Morris or is it going to be Breida? It doesn't matter who starts. The starter is just the guy that's on the field the first play. That's all a starter is. And I think you're going to obviously see a committee like we discussed, and it's going to be matchup based. I think in this Minnesota Vikings game week one, I think you're actually going to see a lot more Matt Breida than Alfred Morris because, you know, that Minnesota Vikings front line is very, very stout. They're not going to give up much in the run game. So I think you're going to see more quick hitting type plays to Matt Breida, stretch plays, screen passes, things like that. I think that Matt Breida is going to have more of a role in this first game. So it's all going to be matchup dependent. I'm not worried about the run game. Kyle Shanahan knows what he's doing a lot better than we do. So I'm confident. The next question comes from Quest46 on Twitter, who's @Quest_4_6. That's a mouthful. Say that 10 times fast. He asks, how do you think we're going to utilize our new additions to our wide receiver core and their impact on Trent Taylor? Tone, why don't you take that one first?
Well, what's going to impact Trent Taylor is going to be the emergence of Richie James. Trent Taylor's, seems like he has that connection with Jimmy G. So I don't see Trent Taylor being too ineffective, if at all. I think he's going to be very effective with Jimmy G, especially working the slot, working the middle of the field, using that speed, short routes. But if there's somebody that looks like that may or could replace him, would be Richie James. And I think you're going to look at Richie at multiple positions at wide receiver, especially if he builds that trust with Jimmy G, especially like on the third down, pocket is collapsing. Jimmy G's got to get the football out, short routes, short slants. This is the West Coast offense, and you're going to see a lot of that. So, that's how I see what that would be utilized. I don't think Trent Taylor is going to be affected by someone emerging, but if there is someone, I think Richie might just ball out and, just show out. So that's what I'll go with.
JP, what about you?
I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. We have a lot of playmakers, a lot of the same style wide receivers on the team. So it'll be interesting. But you know what? I'm not too worried, because I think Kyle Shanahan, he draws up a lot of plays to spread the ball around a lot. And I think Jimmy G is going to spread the ball around a lot. So I'm not too worried. I mean, we've got playmakers across the board in at wide receiver. I mean, just like Tone said, Richie James had an amazing preseason. He has a lot of talent. Trent Taylor, Dante Pettis. So we have, you can even throw in Marquise Goodwin. So they're all the same type of wide receivers. And I'm excited, man. I think they're gonna excel. I don't really think Trent Taylor is really gonna be affected in any way. But I'm just excited to see how it turns out. I'm just excited, man. I think we'll be okay, though.
I 100% agree with you guys. I like the guys that we have. This is the most talented wide receiver group this team has had in, 15 years. And Kyle Shanahan's gonna scheme it all up. I like the guys that we have. I like the mix. They all kind of complement each other. And I'm really anxious to see how things play out. Tone, I'm with you, man. Richie James, I want to see what kind of an impact he can have. Trent Taylor is Jimmy's guy. So, again, he's not going to be affected. He's the go-to guy. He's the Julian Edelman to Jimmy Garoppolo's Tom Brady. That's his dude. That's his security blanket. And so Trent Taylor's not going to be affected. He's going to see his targets. He's going to see plenty of playing time. But if something were to happen to Trent Taylor, we have the bodies behind him. So I feel good about this receiver group. Of course, they're going to want to get Dante Pettis on the field, second-round pick. And, he's going to play a big role in terms of the return game as well. So I think we're good to go. I think we're all set. We have a veteran presence in Pierre Garçon. So I think we're good. Next question comes from @jgomes6 on Twitter. And he's part of the Niner fan base that's freaking out right now. And he says, what in the hell are the 49ers going to do at edge rusher and running back now? They released everyone. They must have a plan. I'll start with this one. We kind of hit on it earlier. The moves at edge rusher, releasing a Tauchu and whatnot, are telling. They have a lot of confidence in Cassius Marsh. They think that Eric Armstead's going to play a huge role. We gotta side with the coaching staff. We gotta give them the benefit of the doubt. They know what they're doing. At least we want to believe that they do. So we gotta let it play out. And hopefully Eric Armstead can stay healthy this year and be productive. Hopefully Cassius Marsh can show a lot of what he showed last year in that small sample size, but do it over a 16 game schedule. We are concerned about the edge position. Of course, we're always concerned about the pass rush because that's like the Achilles heel of this team. But we'll have to see what happens. It's going to be kind of like a committee approach. Who's going to be able to get to the quarterback, kind of rotate guys in, keep guys fresh and whatnot. There's not going to be that one guy that really stands out off the edge. which isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you can rotate guys, keep guys fresh, and get after the quarterback, then you're doing it right. JP, what do you think about, you know, what are we going to do at the edge position and the running back position?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, man. I think that, like you said, that's always been our Achilles heel for a while. You know, we haven't really had a solid, legit pass rusher since Alden Smith. But yeah, you're right. I agree with you 100%, JD. I think it's telling. I think the coaching staff is investing a lot of trust into Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, and you know, Marsh as well. So I think it's telling, man. I think it's really time for them to step up, especially Armstead. I mean, you know, this little experiment that we've had with him, he's been injured and whatnot. I think this is, you know, I think we touched on it in, you know, a few podcasts back. I think this is his time. He needs to step up, or else, you know, something may happen. He may, you know, get cut, traded, whatever it may be. But yeah, it's time for him to step up for sure. And, you know, hopefully maybe Robert Saleh has some stuff up his sleeve and he can get the most out of him. Same thing with Solomon Thomas. I know this is his only, you know, he's coming into his second year now. But we'll see how he evolves into, you know, a pass rusher and clogging up the middle of that line. But yeah, it is concerning, just cause we haven't really seen too much from the players that we do have. And you know, it's been a little kind of disappointing, but we'll see, man. We'll see. It's like, you know, I don't know, man. It is concerning, but I want to see how things play out before jumping the gun on anything. So we'll just have to wait and see. Tone, what's your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I mean, both of you guys hit it on the head right there. It is concerning. But like JD said earlier, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, but especially Shanahan, deserves the benefit of the doubt. And the reason being is because he's the one that is the head coach coaching up these guys. You know, Lynch deserves the benefit of the doubt because he is putting these players on the roster. He is drafting, signing, you know, scouting these players. So these guys, this is only their second year. They've made a lot. They had a lot more hits than they have misses. And they have had a couple misses. But, you know, this is something that they deserve the benefit of the doubt. Give them time. We'll see during the season if some of these moves were a mistake or not. But like, you know, JD said, Marsh, Armstead, they must think they're going to step up. I haven't seen too much, even though Armstead, you know, I thought he had the ability with that raw talent. He had the ability to mold into something, but he just hasn't produced at all. And I don't think he is going to produce, but they must see something in the practices. You know, we're not there in the locker room. We're not there on the field. We're not there in the film room. They must see something. So I'm giving them a benefit of the doubt before I bash these type of moves. But yeah, they need to step up. Point blank. Period. They need to step up. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But let's give them time before we go ahead and bash some of these moves.
And as far as the running back position goes, I mean, they made those cuts to the running backs. You know, McNichols, Joe Williams, and whatnot. They had to make those moves and get down to the 53. They were under the impression that Jerick McKinnon was going to be ready to go, and you know, so. You can't really say that those moves were premature. You can't say that, you know, what were they doing cutting the running backs when McKinnon went down? They didn't know McKinnon was going to get hurt. It all kind of happened right around the same time. So I don't fault them for cutting those running backs, and who knows, they might bring one of them back. But you also have to look at it that, you know, a lot of other guys got cut around the league, and there might be a running back out there that they like. They might, you know, check the waiver wire and see what's available. I think personally, they're going to look and see what's out there, and they're going to bring in a guy who is primarily a pass catching threat, because you have to have that in Kyle Shanahan's scheme. And between Morris and Breda, neither one of those guys is a really excellent pass catcher. Hopefully Breda can kind of show more flashes of that, but he's more like a change of pace runner. He's not necessarily that, you know, great of a pass catcher. I think if they bring in a guy who can really catch the ball out of the backfield and be that threat, I think that'll be really effective. So, you know, it is what it is. We got to work with what we got to work with. We only have what we have. And I'm not freaking out yet. I'm going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, the Jimmy G effect is real. He makes everything around him better. We've seen that already. So let's wait and see. Let's take a deep breath. Let's stop freaking out, you know, step back from the ledge, and let's just see what happens, guys. Let's just have a little bit of faith, shall we? Now, the last question comes from Eugenio, loyal listener to the show. He's at 1987 Eugenio on Twitter, and he kind of follows it up here. He says, do you think that we will see a trade for a defensive end or a running back? Tone, do you think we're going to make a trade, or how do you think we're going to address these concerns?
If this was maybe 5-6 years ago, I would have just said no, because trades don't happen too often in NFL. But the last few years has really been, you know, on the incline. You know, there's just really a lot of teams are trading away little pieces here and there, whether it's a big name or not. So I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers were looking for a trade. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers do get a trade, whether it is a D-line pass rusher. But as far as running back, I don't know if we will. I really don't know. I think they might be good with what we have until, you know, something happens, you know, God forbid an injury, or maybe, you know, we're just not producing. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if John Lynch is aggressively trying to pursue some kind of pickup, some kind of trade. I mean, something. So no, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
And JP, what about you? What are your thoughts on how we're going to pursue defensive ends or running backs, or if we are at all?
No, man, I don't think so. I think you know, Kyle and John, I think they like the team that we have now going forward. And I mean, just like we said, we're gonna see how things play out. If stuff gets, you know, out of hand, if we're really not getting any type of movement or pass rush or anything like that, maybe they'll make a move. But for right now, I think they're happy with the team. I think they like what they have, and I think they're just moving forward, and they're ready for the season, man. So to answer the question, no, I do not think we're going to be making any trades for running backs or especially pass rush or anything like that.
Now, you know, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. You saw last year this team's not afraid to make moves. They made that trade for Lake and Tomlinson midway through the season. They made the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. They're not afraid to shake things up. They're not afraid to go get guys that they like, that they think fit the scheme. As far as defensive end goes, I don't see us going out there and acquiring anybody else. This team still has a ton of defensive linemen in general. I don't think we have the roster space in that position, point blank. Now, as far as running back goes, I think there's a possibility you could see this team make a move. I think they do need that pure pass-catching threat. And one guy that I have my eye on who's kind of on the outs with his team who would be an ideal fit for this offense would be Detroit running back Amir Abdullah. He's kind of on the outs. They're kind of testing the waters with him to see what they can possibly get for him in a trade. And I think he could be a guy that the Niners should absolutely try and at least kick the tires on and see what they could pull off to get him. I think he would be an explosive addition to this team. He would be like a poor man's Jerick McKinnon. You know, we wanted McKinnon to be that guy who can be really explosive, screen game, short passes, stretch plays, whatnot. I think if we can go make a trade for Amir Abdullah, I think that would be a hell of a move. Do you guys have any thoughts on that, Tone? What do you think about maybe going after a guy like Amir Abdullah?
Hey, that would be a really good move. Now, that's something that I didn't really think of. You know, I know I just said, hey, you know, I think the 49ers are content with what we have at running back. But if John Lynch goes ahead and pulls that move off, then I would be very happy. I would see exactly how he fits. And I would see exactly what, you know, what they want, you know. I would be happy with that move. I just think the 49ers are, for the most part, content with what we have, the players that we do have. And I think Morris and Breida is going to be a go. But, I would not be opposed to a move like that. That's a good call, brother.
JP, any thoughts?
Yeah, man, no, that's – I didn't think of that. That's that would be a great move to personally to me, especially like you said earlier in this podcast, the way we can get out of McKinnon's contract. And you know how the Niners front office like saving money. I mean, they did it, you know, during the draft. They drafted McGlinchey, traded away Trent Brown, who was most likely going to be due for, you know, a big contract. So, hey, that could be. You never know, man. And, you know, the only thing is with the Lions, I think he was a second-round pick that when they picked him up. So I'm not sure what they're willing to part ways with him with or whatnot. I know recently we just traded one of our seventh round picks for, you know, another offensive lineman from the Browns. So, so I don't know, man, that would be an interesting pickup. But, as of right now, I think I'm siding with Tone. I think we're chill. We're going to see how everything pans out. And, I think we'll be okay. I think everything will be fine with us.
Well, there you have it, guys. Thank you to everybody that chipped in questions on our fourth down mailbag segment. And real quick, just before we put a bow on this podcast, a little bit of breaking Niner news as I'm scrolling through Twitter here. Matt Barrows, of The Athletic just tweeted out that linebacker Peta Tamapenu passed through waivers and is heading to the 49ers practice squad. So a little bit of Niner news. You know, we're bringing back the young guy to the practice squad. Not a bad move. You know, hopefully we can, you know, keep building with him and see what happens. But, you know, as they say, hashtag championship. So with that said, this has been the Forever Faithful podcast. JP, Tone, any final words before we get out of here?
No, man, just thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you for the support. You know, you can follow us anywhere that you can get podcasts at. We're on Google, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Anchor. We're on everywhere that you can get podcasts, and it is grown. We're going to be on even more social media platforms. But I just want to say thank you to everybody who asks us questions. Please continue to interact with us. You know, follow us on Twitter, everywhere, man. It's just, it's football season. It's time to go. It is time to go. I'm ready. I'm excited. And I wanted to thank my co-hosts as well, man. I really appreciate you guys. And this was another great podcast. And sitting here in the parking lot, tailgating, got to have some extra time. And I'm ready, man. I'm excited. I'm glad we were able to do this, man. Everybody here and everybody ready to go. We're excited, man. So thank you to everybody.
Yeah, legit, man. Thanks for everyone for listening to the podcast. Everyone who supports us, check us out on all the social medias. Tone just ran it down for you. Hey, we love doing this, man. We love doing it every week, and we're excited this season's going to be here, and we're going to, you know, the preview and the post game and all that. I'm just pumped. I'm pumped for the season. I'm pumped to do this podcast with y'all, and yo, man, let's get it going, y'all.
All right, guys, there you have it. So until next time, and we'll come back to you guys next week with a little bit of recap of the week one game against the Vikings and preview the week two game, the home opener against the Detroit Lions. And real quick, before we get out of here, Niall Scott, defensive lineman with the Niners, has been signed to the practice squad. So there you have it, guys. You know, it's always one team, one family, one goal here on the 49er Faithful Podcast, or the Forever Faithful Podcast, rather. And I'm JD. That was Niner Tone. That was JP. And we out.